tonight out of the King James language. Why do we swap languages? Because some of it just reads better in a different translation. Oh, there's only one translation. No, there's a bunch of them. Yeah, if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Well, the King James translation's only been around for about 400 years. And it's a great translation. I preach mostly out of that. When I look up a Bible verse, I personally can look it up easier in the King James translation. But John 16:23 says this. And in that day, these are the words of Christ, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So what happens is that's where the, meets the road. What is it, the pavement? The what? The rubber. Sorry. That's where the rubber meets the word. We're preaching a message tonight, and we don't even pretend to carry, to include, or to preach even 1% of it. There's so much prayer. But my title of my message, we are off of the Try 2 series. If anybody wants any of those notes, you can hear that on the media. But tonight's message is praying God's way. What if the next 10 times that you prayed that God answered? Now that is normal. What's not normal is not to get answers to prayer. What we need is to take a close look at the Bible and see that there is a way to pray and a way not to pray. And if we will learn how to pray, and this first clue is to pray in the name of Jesus. He said, when I leave, don't pray to me anymore. Pray to my Father in my name, in Jesus' name. Do you know that each one of you that wants has a Father? He's the creator of all the world. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all of those that dwell therein. This all belongs to God. You know, having said that, it didn't take me long to figure this out. If all of this belongs to God, he calls the shots. And what he tells us, he reveals to us in the word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4 says that. So we have to learn the principles of prayer. If you've got a smartphone, you're smart. If you've got a smartphone, you're a Bible theologian. I remember when another pastor friend of mine many years ago said, you got to get one of these. And I thought, man, I'm not going to get one of those. I don't want people to be able to get a hold of me anytime they want to. But I finally got one. And I'm glad that I'm addicted to it, just like you are. So there. But there's a way to pray, and there's a way not to pray. And if we pray the way not to pray, you will not get, no matter how nice you are, it's not going to help you. Can I get an amen? Amen. You have to pray according to the word of God. And in this lesson, if I sneeze, will somebody please say, God bless you? I do that for my wife all the time. I've got about 7 things here. We will be out of here before 8 o'clock. I asked somebody very important in here, do we have any TV shows that were... What's on? The Viper? So, you don't have yours recorded? Okay, so it's going to be all right, isn't it? You know what? I've had... Ever since I got saved, 1971, do the math, people have been picking on me. I mean, they just love it. And, you know, I love when they do it. My problem is I usually have an answer back, and they're not as user-friendly as I am. But the first thing I want to mention in this few minutes is that if you're going to pray anything, put in there, there's only one name under heaven given to men by which we can be saved, delivered, healed, and have our answers prayed, answered, have our prayers answered. And that's the name of Jesus. He is the Christ Messiah. Christ in the Greek means the anointed one. Messiah in the Hebrew means the anointed one. It's really real. When you just know it, it just is easy to understand. We want to know how to pray God's way because that is the only way for sure. Now, you can be lost and pray in God's name, in God's way, and he'll hear you. But what you mostly want to pray if you're not saved, you want to say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I need Christ in my life. I need your son. Help me. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in to stay. Come in today. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And believe that. Believe that he'll come. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anybody that will be saved. And my first point, one out of about seven, is to pray in the name of Jesus. That's the beginning of knowing how to pray. You could say, God, I don't know that much about prayer, but in the name of Jesus, I want you to teach me. And then if you'll read the word and another thing, you could just say to this phone, hey, Siri, give me Bible verses on, gosh, I'm just kidding. See what I mean? Oh, that's all you have to do. That's all you have to know. Life gets complicated, but prayer is not. Prayer is for everybody, and it's talking to God. It's asking God for specific things. It's pouring your heart out to him. It's many things. Prayer is many things, but it has to all be in the name of Jesus. Some of you know me enough. I don't eat anything without asking God's blessing for it in the name of Jesus. That's just the way I roll. Is that pretty well the truth, Mel? That's the truth. You know, this is not a hint. This is just a coincidence. My birthday is October the 24th. And that's not a hint. That's just a coincidence. But I'm going to be 71 years old. Man, I never thought about living Patty to be 71 years old. For gosh sakes. That sounds ancient, but I don't feel that way. I feel pretty wonderful. Paul, do you feel wonderful? Pretty much. Amen. Amen and amen. So pray in the name of Jesus. Look up some directives in God's word. Look up some Bible verses in God's word. And pour your heart out in prayer. And pray in the name of Jesus every time you pray. There's never a time when it's wrong to pray in the name of Jesus. You know, I look at so many of you, and I see so many of you are in the middle of a transition. There's Keisha, I'm so proud of you. There's Angel, I'm proud of you. Any of you in here that's making a change. The beginning of a change is to come to church. Now, contrary to popular belief today, the word says this in the Gospels, speaking of Jesus, as it was his custom, his habit, he went into the synagogue. And we're supposed to be following Christ. So think about it. Don't get, if you want to get mad, say, God, I'm mad at you. But make sure you say, in the name of Jesus. Amen? Okay. That's what, number one. Turn to Mark 11:24, please. Mark 11:24. I'm preaching a message, praying God's way. It's the only way. It's the way that it'll get you through. Don't fight it. Don't resist it. Cooperate with God in the name of Jesus. Amen? Therefore, I say unto you, now the verse before that said, you can say in the name of Jesus to any mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. And if you believe it, it's going to be done for you. Read this, hear this verse though. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, let's just get you in the game here, everybody. How many of you have things that you desire? If your hand's down, you don't. Let me just take a look. Okay. Now, let me ask you this here. How many of you desire things that only God can give you? That's what we're talking about. Now, we're not going to go there, but in 1 John chapter 3, I believe, the word says this. If you ask anything according to God's will, and if you ask correctly the way he says, we know, we don't think, we know that he hears us. Now, if we know that he hears us, we know that we have what we've asked him for. Does that make sense to everybody? So once again, Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. Now, when you pray the way that God wants you to pray. And there's a little bit more to it than just saying, man, I'd just like you to do this, God. I know you're cool and blah, blah. And just give me what I ask for. Well, there's a little bit more to it than that. First of all, you don't want to ask God to kill anybody for you. Because that's just going a little too far. Does everybody understand that? Asking, there's a better chance you'll get it done if you just do it yourself and ask for forgiveness than to ask God to. Huh? Than to ask God. God isn't going to kill somebody for you. No, he's got other ways to work things out that are better ways. How many of you found that so far? People that you thought you just wasn't going to ever be able to. And all of a sudden, God just works it out in your life. Amen? Amen? Amen. So here, what you have to do, and I tell people this all the time, I'm going to say it tonight, never ask God for anything that you can't believe him for. It's an exercise in futility. It will not work. Never, ever ask God. And see, so what's got to happen here? You've got to learn, you've got to begin to pray in faith. And you know, the longer that you walk with God, you automatically, wouldn't you say, Keisha, your faith just grows if you'll walk with him, won't it? Yeah. We're all so proud of you. So point number two is when you pray, believe that you receive. And I would also say this here. In just a few minutes, we're going to stand up and ask God for things. And I think the best way to do God is pray for things that your mama can't give you. Pray for something only God can give you. Amen? Pray for a miracle. I loved Catherine Kuhlman. I love her still. She had a TV program many years ago. It caught my eye. And she would open her program by saying, I believe in miracles. And I want to say to you, I believe in miracles. I am a miracle. I've seen God answer miraculously. And I'm going to encourage you tonight. when you stand up to get prayer, to try to think of the most hardest thing that you can think of that is God's will, and pray for him. Pray to him that he'll give it to you. So the next thing to do is you've got to believe that you're talking to somebody that will answer you. When I go to the bank and I know how much money I have in there, and I know for one thing they'll give me another one of those record books, you know. I just know that I know that I know. They'll give it to me. And I know if I say I want to take out $500, and if I've got it, I know he'll give it to me. Now, God has it all. It all belongs to God. And if you approach him in faith and in the name of Jesus and in his will, it's almost impossible not to get your prayer answered if you're a child of God. Now, let's go to this next verse, because it's important to answered prayer. And this becomes a stumbling block for many people. Put up Mark 11:25, please. Back up just to where we were. We headed up there a moment ago. And it says in verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And the next verse says this, but if you won't forgive, God won't forgive you. And that hinders your prayer. Does everybody understand that? That's going to hinder your prayer. If you won't forgive, that's your prayer isn't going to, it's not going to be as good as if you'll forgive. Why? Because the whole of the gospel is about forgiveness. God forgiving you and you forgiving everybody that you don't like, that you're mad at, that you hate, that you wish they were dead, they did you wrong, whatever. You begin to forgive them. Let me say this here. Sometimes forgiveness is a process that you can work. In just a moment, I'm going to ask us all that will to make an altar where you are or come to the altar. And if you want God to help you, before you stand up tonight, please forgive. Now, this is how you might want to start. Lord, in the name of Jesus, help me to forgive that person. I have a real problem with them. And pour your heart out and tell the truth about it. Tell the truth about the way you really feel. Because before you know it, God will call to remembrance some things he's forgiven you of, or he will lead you in a way where you need forgiveness from others, and it will help you. Life, if you give your life to Christ, he will help you to forgive. I promise you that. That's just what he does. So we've got pray in the name of Jesus, believe that you receive, and forgive. Now, I'm going to tell you another one is to pray in tongues. Now, we're not going to get into all of that. It's not. There's two kinds of tongues. There's a prayer language, okay? He that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself, brings himself up. And then there's also praying in tongues. Many times when I don't know how to pray, I pray in tongues. And the Lord knows, and he'll give me, and sometimes he'll give you the interpretation. Now, we have tongues in this church. We don't announce it as much as we should. But if you pray in tongues, there will be an interpreter here. I can guarantee you that. So that's two different kinds of tongues. The kind of tongue where it's like a prophetic utterance in a church service, and praying in tongues, which is a prayer language that builds you up and helps you to get through to God in such a way that your prayer is heard and answered in the throne room of God. Amen? Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, could we put that up there now? I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And those two are linked together. Whatever you've been told, God himself wants every person to be saved. Does God always get his way? No. But he wants every person to be saved. That every person that you encounter, that's kind of like a divine appointment. I have them all the time. Well, I just speak a word in season to somebody about the Lord. And he wants everybody to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. The devil wants you to fall from grace. The devil wants you to go the wrong way. The devil wants you to not be saved. And Satan, I just want you to know, you're the only one mentioned in the Word of God. You are definitely going to the lake of fire. Nobody else's name, but your name, Satan. See, you have to do spiritual warfare. You know, when God saved me, he didn't turn me into a little sissy. And he wants you to be bold. We spoke about boldness, I think it was last Sunday night. He was 4:16 to enter boldly into the throne room. So, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we'll read it one more time. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, the first thing that a saved person is called to do is pray for everybody, for people you don't like. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And I'm going to leave you with this thought. It's best to process bad feelings about people because God wants that person to be saved. I have had people that I really didn't want God to save, but he wanted to save them anyway. It's not depending on me. It's depending on his loving kindness. And the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is the faithfulness of God. And I want you to know that. Now I'm going to ask you that want to, I want to declare once again, this is open communion here. We would love if every one of you took communion. And we won't ask you what your faith is. Because if you love Jesus, you're one of us. Now, the Word says, right before you take communion, examine yourself. See if there's something in your life that shouldn't be there. If there is, the Word says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and has a legal right to forgive us and to cleanse us from our sins. And that's the beginning of how to, it's not like you have to figure it out for yourself. So we're going to examine ourselves, and then we're going to take communion. If there's something that shouldn't be there, we're going to confess. And I'm going to tell you, there's enough time. If you want to hit the first part of Survivor and it not be on record, you can probably do it tonight. I'm just going to ask you, if you would, to examine your heart. We're starting the physical part of communion right now. Praise God. Now, Mike and Tommy, can you guys handle this? You need more? If you would, I'm going to say this to you. We're going to start communion. It's open communion. Nobody has to take communion if they don't want to. But we're going to start with passing out the Eucharist, the bread, to everybody in here. So when you receive your bread, Jesus said this, I am the bread of life. I am healing is the children's bread. You're the children. Everybody that wants to, Jesus said this, I am the bread that fell down from heaven for 40 years in the desert for the Jewish people as Moses led them out of Egypt, the land of bondage. So if there's something that you want tonight, this emblem represents supply for you, for what you need, for what you want. And remember, I ask you to ask big, to think big, think miraculously. If anybody here wants something from God, if you took your examination right, stand up. And between you and God, tell him what you want. Ask him what you want. Ask him, say, I need, some of you may need rent money. Some of you may need healing. Some of you might have a relationship that you really want God to help you with. Some of you may have a broken heart. There's a multitude of things. God can heal everything in your spirit, soul, and body. Don't tell anybody else. Just tell God what you want. Nothing too big, nothing too small. All right. Now, those of you that are taking communion with us, you have a wafer, a Eucharist, whatever you want to call it. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to break it. By breaking it, it's a personal experience that you realize you put Jesus on the cross. The heck with worrying about Pontius Pilate putting him on the cross or the Roman soldiers or the Jewish people. You put him on the cross. And you're owning up to that by breaking that emblem. Would you break it with me? And everybody say with me, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Savior that you've given me. There's only one Savior. It's your Son, our Savior, Jesus. Now say thank you one more time.